Welcome, all you wonderful MCU fans, to True Believers, the MCU podcast here on the Fandom Podcast Network, or Fandom Podcast Network. I'm a little tongue-tied at the moment, apparently. This is, of course, the podcast, but of course, this is the time where we're covering the end of Moon Knight, and it's going to be a lot of fun, but I need some avatars to help me with this, and I can't think of two better than, first of all, my new freshly married avatar of all things marriage, Mr. Kevin Reitzel.
Hey, I'm back. Yay. What's up, guys?
We're doing well. How are you? How is the marriage avatar treating you?
Marriage avatar is treating me well. I had a great time.
I'm glad to hear it. And of course, if we're going to be talking Moon Knight, that means we have to bring, of course, in our ultimate expert on all things Khonshu, Mr. Kat Cedar.
Woohoo! What's going on, guys?
Dude, seems like I saw you in Vegas, man.
Is that what it was? I wasn't sure. That might have been an astral plane for all I know.
Thank you so much for standing in as my best man avatar. Appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I suited up nice.
Yeah, you look good, man. You look like Mr. Knight. It was awesome.
Now, Kevin, I'm a little disappointed because while you were away,
I heard the podcast.
I awarded an extra 10 Excelsior points for your wedding, and Kat was supposed to bring you the Mr. Knight suit to wear for your wedding. Instead, I see you in this Raider suit. I mean, you would have looked sharp in the all white with the mask. I'm just saying, man.
Would have been great for his face.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's true.
Can't tell you the number of cameras we broke.
We know the bride didn't break any, so that's the important thing.
That's for sure.
But guys, we are here to talk about Moon Knight, the finale episode, Gods and Monsters. But just a reminder to join our Facebook group, True Believers. We're keeping you updated on all the happenings of the MCU there while we're not recording this podcast. And we have a fun time there. We're just talking about what's happening in the MCU and what might be coming and what might not be coming. But you know what, guys, too? Usually we have a little Marvel news, but it's a little quiet because the finale of Moon Knight, and of course things are getting a little multiversey in the MCU right now because Doctor Strange has also released, and trust us, we'll be covering that very shortly here as well on True Believers. But let's not waste any time. Let's get right into it. Of course, you know, we do phases around here, not segments, which means it's time to dive into phase one. So I'm going to release a little of that Tesseract energy to get things started. And of course, phase one is where we talk about the plot and our instant reactions of the episode. Kevin, you've been married, you're recharged, everything good to go. Had a little time in Vegas. I won't ask you what happened because it stays in Vegas. But would you mind letting us in on what happened in Gods and Monsters, episode 6 of Moon Knight?
I would be delighted to. Layla receives a message from Tauret. How do you say that? Tauret? Tauret?
Tauret.
She receives a message from Tauret telling her to find and release Khonshu so he can revive Spectre. Harrow uses Amit's power to slaughter the other Egyptian god avatars before releasing Amit, who chooses him to be her new avatar, while Layla finds Khonshu's Ushabti, I know I'm not doing that right, and releases him. Layla refuses to become Khonshu's new avatar, so he confronts Amit alone, but is overpowered. Meanwhile, Spectre refuses to stay in the field of reeds alone and chooses to return to the Duat and rescue Grant instead. With Tauret's help, they escape through the gates of Osiris and awaken back in their body. Khonshu senses their return and bonds with them again, healing their body and restoring their powers. Layla discovers that Amit can be defeated if several gods' avatars bind Amit into a mortal body so she can temporarily bond with Tauret. Harrow, Amit, and their followers begin judging everyone in Cairo until Spectre, Grant, Layla, and Khonshu arrive to engage them in battle. Harrow overpowers Spectre and Grant, and almost kills them until they both black out and reawaken to find that they have somehow brutally defeated him. Spectre and Layla are able to seal Amit into Harrow's body, imprisoning her again. Khonshu urges Spectre to execute Harrow and Amit, but Spectre refuses and orders Khonshu to release him and Grant from their service. Spectre and Grant find themselves in the imaginary asylum again, but reject it and choose to continue their new life together. In a post-credit scene, a crippled Harrow is abducted from a psychiatric hospital and executed by Jake Lockley, Spectre and Grant's third alter, Ego, who is still bonded with Khonshu.
Those multiple personalities, identity disorder, they cause problems. I'm just saying. But guys, I want your first reactions here. As soon as that those final credits hit, then you turned off the off button. What were your thoughts on the episode? Kat, you are our Moon Knight ultimate fan, ultimate expert. I'm going to start with you. What were your first reactions after you watched this episode?
Watch it again. That was my first reaction. It was wow. Wow. I mean, that they compacted so much into such a small 42-minute time frame that, I mean, that could have been two episodes long easily. Eight episodes like we should have had. But wow, I mean, the episode was so good. I just absolutely loved. And I remember talking to you last week, Kyle. We talked about how the fight scene was going to happen. I got that one right, at least. That's one right. With the changing of personas from Mark Knight, Moon Knight to Mr. Knight to Moon Knight to Mr. Knight. But yeah, I watched it again immediately, and I've watched it two more times since then. It's just an overpowering episode. Just everything was so yum.
Kat loved it, Kevin. That's very obvious. What about you? What were your reactions after watching this episode of the finale of Moon Knight? Let's put it that way. We'll talk more about that in a bit.
Well, I haven't talked about the last two episodes with you guys because of, the time off I took off to get married and such. So I just want to kind of lead into the last episode, Gods and Monsters, and just kind of go back real quick. The tomb I liked because it was very kind of Indiana Jonesy, kind of, you know, mummy-ish. And I liked that kind of setting, and with Layla kind of finding her way and handling business as much as she could. I liked the scene between her and Harrow. I thought that was good. Asylum, I struggled to get through with when I first watched it because I was tired at the time and I started to fall asleep. It was getting very mind weird to me because I was trying to stay on point with, you know, we were getting kind of a backstory on Mark/Steven/whoever and his family and stuff like that. And then the whole thing with Harrow, Ethan Hawke being his psychiatrist as well, kind of started to lose me there with that second to last episode, episode 5, Asylum. And I felt that, you know, Kat just mentioned that this episode could have been longer. And I felt like they should have spent half of Asylum giving us that information instead of making it the whole type of episode and getting really deep and reason why he's scarred and what happened to his family and all that kind of stuff. I wish that it kind of would have started, you know, if he gotten killed like he did at the end of that one, or supposedly killed, I'd like to have seen a little more towards the end of that episode. I know they have to leave it as kind of a cliffhanger. That's fine. I get that. But the only thing I got out of Asylum for me personally was just how good Oscar Isaacs is as an actor and how he was just killing it. Literally just doing an awesome job. A lot of people liked Asylum. I personally didn't. I had trouble getting through it. That's why I wanted Gods and Monsters episode, this one, to be longer. It was a shorter episode. It was like 40 minutes compared to like the 50 that we would get.
Yeah. Gods and Monsters is actually the shortest episode of the of the entire season of Moon Knight.
Yeah, and I felt a little shorted because of that. I wanted to see more to it, and it the fight scenes were nice. It always seems to come down to a CG punch fest, you know, which is what superheroes do. Punch fest, got it. You know, you got to have the fighting and stuff. But I would have liked to have just seen a little more lead up to the final thing. It just kind of fell in a little too fast for me. But I was still satisfied with the ending, though, to be honest, though. And I got some more thoughts on the bigger impact of this as well.
Ken, I just want to throw out real quick. It's funny you talk about Asylum, because that same week you had a great conversation with Amy Nelson on Union Federation about mind fracking episodes on television. Because we
Mind fracking episodes. Yes, I'm using the Battlestar Galactica curse word because it's safe.
Yeah, because I know it's just like it was. I just found it funny that you had that episode of Moon Knight and that episode of Picard back to back.
Yeah.
A little mind.
I'm not an episode of that TV trope. I'm not a fan of that TV episode trope. It's just done too much.
Yeah. For me, there were some things I really liked about this episode. I thought how they played up the kind of coming together of Steven and Mark and how that played out with them in the fight, switching between things, and how Steven came up with negotiating with Khonshu and things like that. But there's something I want to ask you guys both here, because it was a big thing that stood out in my first reactions. Did you find it frustrating that basically everything was resolved through a blackout? Mark blacks out in the middle of the fight with Harrow. Everything's wiped out. We have what we now know is a Jake Lockley moment, but we didn't see any of that. To me, it kind of felt like, oh, here's a way that we can cut some corners, save some money, and not have this big fight scene. Kevin, I'm going to start with you on this.
Yeah, that would have been the bigger payoff, because that has been teased all through this series, where he just shows up and he's got bloody hands and everyone's dead. And now we know that was the Lockley guy that being the more violent of the three of them thus far. And I think that would have been a better payoff, where all of a sudden you see Lockley present himself and just beat the you know what out of him. And I don't want to hear, oh, it's the Disney censors. No, especially after seeing Doctor Strange right now, I'm not buying that right now. I think that they were trying to save it for the very end to say, yes, there is a third one, blah, blah, blah. But I think it would have been great if all of a sudden he did his, didn't you say he had like a Chicago accent cat or something? If he had
New York cabbie.
New
York cabbie accent. That would have been a better payoff. What do you think, Kat?
I totally agree. The first time was okay to give us that, like, oh, is there something else here? But being fans, we already knew there was. But the last episode, the blackout should have just been, like you said, the eye rolling back, turning into Jake as like a good sneer, and then watching him beat the holy living heck out of everybody else, and then black back into like Spectre or Steven with the axe over his head, getting ready to kill him. That would, but yeah, again, 42 minutes, how much can they really show? And like you said, Kevin, they want to save that for like, here he is. Like, great. When's season 2 coming out? You know?
Yeah, so, I think the issue for me on that too, guys, is we knew Jake was there. We knew there was a third personality already by that point. So why save it? That was kind of, let's see this. I would rather have that than honestly the stinger at the end. I think it would have filled a little better, but the stinger had a lot of weight to it as well. But real quick, guys, as we wrap up this season of Moon Knight 2, we've talked about it's been a small cast, but is there any other thoughts now that we are through the incomplete season that you want to say on the cast and any standout performances? Obviously Oscar Isaac was phenomenal. Kat, was there anything you wanted to say about the cast as a whole before we move on to the next phase?
Not really, man. I mean, like I said, we've said it all several times, the cast, I mean, I wasn't a fan of Oscar Isaacs. Now I am a fan of Oscar Isaacs. The woman who played Layla did an amazing job. Ethan did an amazing job. And even the sub characters that we see here and there, they all did their little parts. It just made it all sort of tie together. So I think everyone did a great job of what they did. And again, now I'm a fan of Oscar Isaacs. I blame Kevin.
Well, speaking of you, Kevin, any final thoughts on the cast as a whole? Is anything that you haven't said that you want to get a chance to say about the cast?
Yeah, I heard an interview with the director, Mohammed Diab, on the Ringer Network there. Ringerverse, I think it was?
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that interview because of his pride for working on this, you know, this project, and being also an Egyptian cast. They're casting Egyptian people working on it, stuff like that. And that this is something that Egyptians really find a lot of pride in, and that, you know, he talked a little bit about, you know, how to do certain things, you know, how they just made the decisions to, you know, keep Steven as Mr. Knight, and how, you know, they went with Spectre as Moon Knight, and there's certain reasons why they do that and why they waited on Jake Lockley. And it made sense to me. But the fact that there's a pride of that they have an Egyptian superhero, and that, you know, you see that with the little girl in this episode as well. And how important it is to Egyptian people. And I found that fascinating. And I think that's important for when we remember this series and remember the culture that is respected when it's done this and how it's done.
No, I know what you're talking about too, Kevin. And that was phenomenal. Those are all amazing points. And yeah, I echo everything you said there, just the respect and how the pride they had and what they did. And the cast was phenomenal. Like I said, Oscar Isaac, every time I see him, he just goes up another level. Ethan Hawke is, I think, one of our actually underappreciated actors right now. I think because he's done some different things, people don't quite put him at the level he really is at, because he is absolutely phenomenal. But with that, guys, we're going to move on to phase two. It's time to talk a little Moon Knight trivia. We've got a fun couple of pieces of trivia from this episode, some tying into the comics and just a couple of other interesting things. First and foremost, if you caught it in the final credit sequence, the white limousine reads Spectre, symbolizing that no matter what, Mark and no freedom, there'll be no freedom for Mark and Steven. Mark will always be the vehicle of vengeance for Khonshu. Now, Kat, this was pulled right out from the classic comic scene, which a part of this Stinger credit scene was from. How did you feel catching that license
plate? Oh, I saw that and I'm like, oh, I know that guy really well. Because if you look at the his mooncopter, wherever you see that, it says Spectre on it as well.
Yeah, I remember that. Kevin, obviously, you're not being quite as familiar with the comic. Did you kind of get any more meaning from that license plate, or did you just figure Spectre?
It just said Spectre, you know, Mark, yeah. Spectre. That's what I thought. It was his car. I don't know. Yeah. He's rich, right?
Well, Stephen Grant is rich.
Whatever. It says Spectre and Mark Spectre. I just expecting Mark Spectre in the car, but that's not what we got.
Not so much trivia, but kind of something that a lot of people didn't notice at first was at the end of the episode, when we go back to the flat, obviously we start off with A Man Without Love, as we did when the show first opened. But if you look in the fish tank, there's now two fishes in the fish tank, showing Mark and Steven are back to the beginning. But Mark is still chaining himself to the bed with the sand around him, which means obviously there's still some blackout issues there and things going on. Yet we don't get a big follow-up of that, obviously, because of the situation. But I just thought it was very interesting how they played up the fact, the little things to show the unification of at least Mark and Steven there, but we still see that there's something in the background going on. And at this point, this is before the final Stinger credits. What do you think of that, Kevin, as far as the fact that they're showing more reflection of the integration between at least Mark and Steven?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was really important towards the end because they needed to work together. And it also just realized, and the way they shot it too, was like they were specifically two people standing next to each other, which helps us as viewers. And also I think too, that when you have Oscar Isaacs as one of his characters talking to the other one, and then you have a stand-in for him to feed off of, I think that as they're starting to work together and understand each other, especially when they're like talking with Khonshu and like it's mostly Steven, you know, reevaluating the deal they have, I thought was great because he crosses his legs and he's like, you know, matter of fact, which was a great scene. That was probably my favorite scene there. But yeah, it was nice to see them work together as a team and also shot in a way to where it's a little less confusing for the viewer who haven't quite got up to speed with it, or it's just, you know, easier to follow along.
What about you, Kat? Did you like those nice little touches as a show the integration at the end with Steven and Mark?
Yeah, no, it was actually they're finally, you know, cohabitating in one body with two minds, two personalities, I guess. But to also add with what Kevin said, I loved how that scene when Mr. Knight's talking to him and Khonshu's like, you want to do this now? Like, why wouldn't we want to do this now? Make sure we're in agreement. But yeah, all in all, and even when we saw the fight scene, how they were starting to integrate each other's, you know, you go here, you go here, you do this, I'll do this. And then they sort of worked it together, and it did a really good job. I really liked how they did it. And of course, the stinger at the end made a lot of sense too.
Yeah, and we're going to get to that stinger, but one more trivia note here. When the mid-credit scene starts up, we find Arthur Harrow in a psychiatric hospital named after one of the most important figures in Moon Knight comics, Bill Sienkiewicz. Of course, Sienkiewicz was not necessarily the first artist to draw Moon Knight. That honor went to Don Perlin, who got a shout out in last week's episode. Sienkiewicz, however, was the first artist on Moon Knight's first ever ongoing series. Sienkiewicz, who's very famous for his goth craftsmanship, helped establish Moon Knight as one of the edgier heroes in Marvel and really helped the book stand out from a lot of stuff Marvel was publishing at the time. He always had an interesting look. I know he carried that over when he also did the spinoff X-Men title New Mutants as well, because that played up on a lot of more of the mystical aspects of those of things involved with those characters. But Kat, Sienkiewicz is a legend in the comics industry and has done some of the more original and standout things within comics. How are your feelings on Sienkiewicz as far as his contributions to Moon Knight?
He made Moon Knight what he really is. He imagine the Punisher when we first see him. He's all, I'm going to shoot him, and I'm a not a good guy, not a bad guy. if the guy, if he had done it, I think it was done, had done Punisher, we would have probably seen Punisher kill somebody, which would have been like, what? Someone got killed in a comic book? Wait a minute, that can't be right. So making Moon Knight the dark, edgy, sort of bleep bleep attitude kind of guy made him be one of the most original and first of his type, which leads on to, you know, lots of other characters that have come out ever since then. But just his I'm taking a risk attitude and doing it and making it work is what made it so famous and why Moon Knight is such a bad a-hole.
Yeah, Sienkiewicz is always a bit of an acquired taste, but Kevin, I know one thing that's always something you like enjoy watching out is when the show pays tribute to where it came from. And Moon Knight has done a very good job of working in names and things from its past creators and things. And I know you kind of learned that as we've been going along, but this is probably realistically when you're talking Sienkiewicz, you're talking about the guy who really established the look of Moon Knight and really was a key factor, especially in the 80s of kind of establishing what Moon Knight was at the time. Obviously there's been a lot of change over the, especially in the recent years with Warren Ellis and things like that, but this is a call out to one of the classic creators of Moon Knight.
No, I always appreciate it. I didn't catch the Easter egg, so to speak, but learning about it, I think that's great when they do that. And they've been very good at doing that throughout all Marvel TV shows and movies. There's always been something like that. And it's nice that they can pay tribute to the fans and the creators all at the same time.
Yeah, no, and Marvel does that amazingly, and it's something I give them a ton of credit for. But before we continue on, we're going to take a quick break here, tell you what else is going on around the Fandom Podcast Network. And when we come back, we're going to continue our journey through the phases of Moon Knight.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to continue to feed your ears by inviting you to listen to these other great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, discussing the latest in entertainment pop culture. Blood Kings, Immortals Take Notice, our show covering the entire Highlander universe. Couch Potato Theaters, where we celebrate our favorite movies. Time Warp, the Fandom Flashback podcast discussing a year in movies and our favorite retro movie and TV pop culture topics. Good Evening, discussing all things Alfred Hitchcock. Union Federation, our Star Trek and Orville show. Hair Metal, the 80s and early 90s rock metal podcast. Type 40, our show covering the time-traveling Doctor Who universe with host Dan Hadley. Lethal Mullet, an 80s and 90s action film podcast with host Adam P. O'Brien. Also check out the Lethal Mullet Network for more great podcasts. What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast with hosts Scott, Derek, and Nathan. Making Treks, a Star Trek podcast, a deep dive into the final frontier with hosts Mark Newbold and Adam P. O'Brien. And check out our newest shows, The Fandom Show, our monthly Fandom Podcast Network live YouTube exclusive show about the month's hottest topics in fandom, and the FPN True Believers MCU podcast, discussing the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the related Marvel television and streaming MCU universe, including the connections to the original Marvel comics. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on several platforms. Please subscribe to the Fandom Podcast Network YouTube channel to receive notifications of new podcast episodes and live events. You can enjoy all of the Fandom Podcast Network audio podcasts on our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on all major podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and iTunes. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can also find the Fandom Podcast Network on Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network and on Twitter at FanPod Network. Thank you for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
We're back, and hopefully you're enjoying everything that's happening around the Fandom Podcast Network as we try to give you better podcasts to feed your ears. But it is time once again to get back into all things Moon Knight, which means it's time to hit phase threes. Okay, and this is the phase where we're going to dive a little bit deeper into some of the key plot points of Moon Knight. Guys, we talked a little bit about this when we were talking about the trivia, but one of the big things in this episode is the true unification of Mark and Steven and Moon Knight and all working together as they make the deal with Khonshu, which, Kevin, you were talking about earlier, how that was maybe your favorite scene in the entire episode, and how they make this deal with Khonshu to be released once Harrow and Amit are defeated. I really, really liked how they played up the aspect of the switching between Steven and Mark in the fight sequences. And yet you could see each one of them also had their own individual fight style, where Mark is a little bit more brutal and hardcore using the crescent darts and the different aspects of the actual Moon Knight armor. While as Mr. Knight, you see Steven using more of a martial arts style, using the sticks, everything like that. It was really well done how they switched it back and forth, and just having that integration between the two, Kevin, I think was a real high point of this episode.
Definitely. And, you know, this is kind of something that was leading up to it. You know, they were fighting against each other, and Steven, you know, not really accepting the bigger picture. And then so when they finally do come together, and, you know, I just find it funny that it was Steven that was kind of leading the charge with the renegotiation with Khonshu. You know, well, we are kind of a package deal right now. We did save your life. You know, I thought that was very funny. And Khonshu's like, gosh, darn it. You know, he grumbles a little bit. But that was important to bring them together, to fight together, and to have a little bit different style between the two is always a nice touch.
It really was. Kat, one of the things that I liked about this too, what they're doing with Steven, he is kind of morphing a little bit more into the Mr. Knight character, showing some aspects of that we saw in the comics. Not fully there yet, but his confidence gaining. So you have this where you don't have this complete weakness when there's a switch between Mark and Steven. I think it's really been a lot more of this season, the growth of Steven as a character, than really even Mark.
Mm-hmm. I think that now with Steven accepting Mark, I think that's where his martial arts prowess is sort of coming in. The muscle memory, even though Steven doesn't know it, the muscle memory knows it. So he's sort of incorporating that into his style, which is why he's able to fight better than just, come look at me, I'm going to pop you on the nose kind of thing, where he's using, you know, kicks, the scream of sticks and whatnot. But I got to say that my favorite part of this whole thing was when he did the famous Daredevil throw the Eskrima stick, hit the guy, bounce off the wall, and then...
Whoa, I'm sorry. Back up, Kat. What did you say?
The Daredevil. He's famous for throwing his Eskrima stick. The Billy Club?
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
They call it an Eskrima stick.
Eskrima stick?
Escrima. Eskrima.
Eskrima. Okay, sorry. I'd never heard that term before, so I just heard... Billy Club, I know.
So Daredevil's famous for bouncing it off of something and hitting somebody in the back of the head. Moon Knight does the same similar thing. But it was great to see Mr. Knight throw it, hit somebody, bounce off the wall, and then Moon Knight catch it, as opposed to Mr. Knight catching it. I'm like, Oh, that was so cool. I got to watch it again. Oh, that was so cool. I got to watch it again. That whole fight scene I watched like 5 times.
Question real quick. And you guys don't have to spend a lot of time on this question. So are you guys fine with the fact that Mr. Knight is Steven and Moon Knight is Mark, and that there's a definitive difference between the two when one is, you know, Mark is not Mr. Knight and so on and so forth, that there is the two different personalities. Each one has its own outfit.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's good. you know, different from the comics, which is nice. And sometimes
there was some pushback on that from fans when it was first done that way.
When I first saw it too, I was like, but watching it and seeing what they did and, you know, just watching it and trying to step out of my own knowledge of what I know about Moon Knight, like, yeah, they did a good job. You know, they really can't put everything that me and Kyle want to see from the comics right into the TV show. Cause well, the TV show would be like 15 episodes long and like, you know, 10 episodes each season.
Right.
But all in all, yeah, I am happy with what they did. I'm happy with the outcome and I enjoy it.
Kyle?
I think for me, it's definitely grown on me because when they first started, because of the way Stephen Grant's personality was coming along and what I knew the Mr. Knight character to be, it really kind of turned me off. But as we've seen Stephen grow and some of the aspects of it and knowing again that they aren't following the comic book exactly, they're doing their own interpretation. As Stephen has grown, I've gotten a little bit more comfortable with it because I love the look of the character. And I think I like how the fact that Stephen is probably the more, logical thinker of the two and uses his mind more to get himself out of things, which is a reflection of Mr. Knight because Mr. Knight was kind of the detective smart personality side of Moon Knight as well. So that fits well. So I've been very happy with that. Speaking of heroes though, we also got to see the birth of a new hero as Layla becomes Tourette's avatar, the Scarlet Scarab. I love the look of this, guys. I thought the costume looked sharp. I love the Layla character. I think it was a great fit to go this route on this. Kevin, what did you think of Layla as the Scarlet Scarab?
The interview that I heard with Moab Diab, the director, he absolutely fell in love with this look. He loved the way that the character was able to use the wings to fly, but also to protect and also as a weapon. And so that was really cool. And I liked it too. I thought it was great to finally see Layla jump into this thing. But in my opinion, my only problem with it is that this should have been introduced in the last episode and that should have been the cliffhanger. That would have been a lot better. And then maybe her attend to Mark and resurrecting him. So we had a lot more of them being these awesome characters and leading up to it a little bit more. Just felt a little rushed, as I mentioned before, but nothing takes away from Layla and the actress Mae Calloway. She's just fantastic. And I found her when she's on the screen, I'm always curious what she's going to do next because she's a great actress. I love the expressions in her face. I love it when she was first having to merge with the avatar and seeing her get a chance to do with it. And her character in her superhero outfit just worked great.
Yeah. Kat, one of the big moments for me too was when they made a point of talking about, are you an Egyptian superhero with the young kid? And I just thought that was a great, great moment to kind of show, hey, we are trying to make a universe of superheroes. I mean, that's one of the things the Marvel Comics has always done fairly well is have heroes from different backgrounds, from different countries. If you go back into the 80s, there was that great Contest of Champions miniseries. Unfortunately, a lot of these heroes also don't see them that often. And the Scarlet Scarab is actually a very obscure character. But if you're going to bring this character in, what a better way to do it?
Well, talk about obscure character. I mean, they've done a few obscure references. But yeah, no, she looked amazing. And that, like you said, that whole, are you an Egyptian? And specifically acting Egyptian. It was great because, like you said, bringing in more of the culture, diverse cultures. Like, you know, we have one coming out in Doctor Strange. They have several not African American, Indian superheroes that are not really known, but they're popular in like the X-Men. So it's good to see that they're starting to bring in more of this. And it's for everyone in the world, so they see more cultural diversity instead of, hey, look, it's Captain America. You know, where's you know, the Hispanic version of that guy, or where's, you know, this character that's a Mexican superhero, or where, you know, now they have Scarab.
Yeah.
She keeps that name.
I think keep that name. I think we're going to see her in a role in the MCU again.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, one of the weirdest things of this episode, and I just have to throw this out real quick, is I was not expecting a kaiju fight between Khonshu and Amit. I was not ready for a Godzilla for Kong throwdown. Did that just feel off to you, either of you? Kat, I'll start with you because you're kind of laughing over there about it.
I don't think they needed to do that. I think they could have kept them at regular size, people in costumes, or digitally enhanced. We didn't need a giant Godzilla fight, but it was funny. They could have made it a little shorter, maybe save some time for other more important things that we could have seen or needed to see, or for those of us who don't understand it as well as we do. wanted to see. But yeah, the Godzilla fight scenes could have been one scene and then we're done. You know, back down to small size.
Kevin, what about you?
See, I think that they should have done more if they're going to introduce the kaiju size fight. Either don't do it or give us more, because honestly, the street fight with Harrow and you know, Moon Knight and Layla, Scarlet Scarab, there was a lot in there. And yes, it was cool, but I think they should have done more with the kaiju fight. I'm calling it kaiju fight because you said it was a kaiju fight and it's big monsters fighting each other. So I'm just going to use that phrase. Because I think the threat of these two going at it that size would have been interesting if they made it seem more menacing and damaging more things. But they barely showed it, to be honest with you. So either cut it or go into it full. Don't just don't dip your toe in it. Jump in the deep end.
Yeah. We only have so much money for this effects budget. And wait, that's what they kind of felt like. But guys, also, let's get into what was, of course, the big thing everybody was talking about at the end of this. We get to the end of the episode. Mark and Steven feel like they've gone back to our normal life, thinking they are free of Khonshu. However, we get this post-credit scene, which teases Jake Lockley as we see him get Harrow out of this psych ward, pulls him into the limousine, a classic scene right from the comics, turns around, and it turns out Khonshu's got the avatar he wanted all along, and Jake Lockley, as Jake kills Harrow, of course, with Amit trapped in there, so basically taking Amit off the board. We were teased Jake Lockley throughout this in moments. He's here now. It feels like we're ending on a cliffhanger, guys, but this moment seemed to be the moment that resonated with everybody, Kevin.
What do you mean by resonate? Sometimes it was a WTF moment there, you know? Well,
but it was, let me put it this way. It was the one that had everybody talking either one way or the other.
Okay. So I'm like, okay, why finally give us Jake Lockley there? I get what they were going for it. That they're trying to establish three personalities here. And I'm not counting Moon Knight himself when he's fully formed. I'm not counting Mr. Knight. I'm counting, you know, Jake, Steven, and Mark. Okay. So I'm like, if whatever way they reintroduce Moon Knight in the future MCU, and we'll discuss that briefly, is this going to be the Kryptonite character? Meaning like, oh, great, Moon Knight's here to save us. Let's hope Jake Lockley doesn't take over and make things even worse. You know, so that's kind of what was coming to me. I'm like, okay, if he's a guy that doesn't mind getting his hands bloody and stuff, is that the kind of thing they're going to go with Mr., you know, with Moon Knight, if he's going to team up with people or if he's going to have his own movie or season two again? Is Jake Lockley now going to be the person that, oh, I got to always be fighting with someone in my multiple personalities disorder now that I've got two people working together? So that's what was coming through to my mind.
Kat, I know this was probably the, oh, wow, holy, you know what moment for you with this episode. So give us your thoughts. Jake Lockley shows up, a little different version of Jake Lockley than we are in the comics. Yeah.
Wow. Well, left field, okay. And then left field, and then the ball went over the fence. I don't recall ever reading a Moon Knight comic where Jake Lockley spoke Spanish, which is the first thing, which was great. I mean, it sounded very ominous when he said his line and then, you know, busted a cap in him. But like Kevin said, there is, if we expect to see Moon Knight season two, well, when we see Moon Knight season two, it'll probably be Jake Lockley versus Stephen Grant and Mark Spector, because that's the way it was in the comic as well. There were certain times when a character would take over and then he would fight, vie for power, and then the other two would sort of like fight against him. Eventually, they all cohabitated together, doing what they needed to do to get information or do this or do that. But man, it was just like, finally, they show. I mean, you see the hat, although it's not a baseball hat, but you see the hat, you're like, is it? And then you see Khonshu rap on the window, and then the glass comes down, and then there's Jake Lockley, and you can see him looking at his reflection in the mirror, and you know that he's in complete control, and that Mark and Steven are nowhere, you know, in that mindset. And then, of course, he turns around and does his line, and then bang, bang. So, yes.
Yeah. again, they cheese Jake throughout the series. I think this was a very interesting moment. I personally, like I said earlier, thought that if you're going to reveal Jake, do it in the fight scene. Don't give us a blackout. Let's see the fight. But
yeah,
what they did here was very powerful in its own right. And obviously, too, we get the classic look of Khonshu in this Mr. Knight suit, the whole white suit, cool, in the limo, pulled right from the comics. That was a classic moment in the Moon Knight run that dealt with him in the asylum. And I found that to be very cool that they did that and pulled that moment from the comics. But which leads us to kind of our next topic here, guys. And this is the big one. Are we going to see more Moon Knight? Are we going to see a season two? Are we going to see Moon Knight appear anywhere? Nothing official has come from Marvel, but things got a little interesting on Marvel Studios Twitter a few days ago before Moon Knight came out, as they were hyping the finale of Moon Knight. First, it was released that this Wednesday experienced the epic series finale of Marvel Studios Moon Knight, only on Disney Plus on Marvel Studios Twitter feed. However, 14 minutes later, it was corrected, saying this Wednesday experienced the epic season finale of Marvel Studios Moon Knight, only on Disney Plus. Guys, this is a big topic of conversation, because when Oscar Isaac signed his contract to do Moon Knight, it was for a 6-episode series, and that was it. There's been no confirmation he signed on for anything else. A lot of people figure we're at least going to see Moon Knight appear in something along the lines. We obviously have this kind of cliffhanger with Moon Knight with the stinger scene. I feel like it could go either way. We could get a second season if I think they feel there's enough demand for it. It could be that we just see Moon Knight pop up here and there. There's a couple obvious places where that could happen, including the 2022 Marvel Halloween special where they're hinting Werewolf by Night, which is a very key component in Moon Knight. Obviously, as they're growing more in the direction of supernatural things with Marvel too, we could see Moon Knight involved in that. But I'm going to start with you, Kevin, because I want to give Kat some time to dwell on this. Do you think we're going to get a season two of Moon Knight?
When I'm going to refer to that interview with Moab Diab talking about the series and thus, and that interview, he had mentioned he had spoken to Oscar Isaacs just recently, and that this experience on Moon Knight has been his most wonderful experience acting. And you know, I'm going to assume he might be elaborating or embellishing, maybe just because he's excited about it's out right now. But I got the impression that he was truthful in what he was saying. And that may change later on, because I think that the fans' reaction to his acting in this has been overwhelming in a really good way. And I think that's one thing we're all unanimous on, rather of our final score on what people like to hear when we wrap up a series or a movie for any Marvel or Star Wars project. That he is really good in this, and we want more. And so, yes, I would like to see more of Moon Knight because of Oscar Isaacs, but I want to see more of these character moments. Fighting and battling is great, but my favorite parts are when he is pulling the Steven and he's pulling the Mark. Now I want to see him as Jake Lockley. You know, I want to see how evil this guy is, or how bad or how violent this guy is going to get, and how, I mean, if you think about it, we haven't seen Oscar Isaacs really excel at that. So as an actor, I'm trying to put myself in Oscar Isaac's shoes. I'm like, I want to explore this Lockley guy. I want to play that part as well. I don't know if it's going to be a second season. That remains to be seen, but I do want to see Moon Knight again. I'm fine. I think it'd be great if maybe he got his own movie or a nice pair up with someone else, and you know, and he's the second guy or something, but something would be nice. I personally would like to see, I'd rather see him pair up with someone that is established in the MCU, so that it ties it all together.
Hawkeye.
Whatever. I don't want to see him do this again, and then there's like no ties still to the MCU. You got to bring him down to the house. Got to invite him to the party. Let's see him mix up with the rest.
Kat, what about you? I mean, I know what you're hoping for, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I think Oscar Isaacs is leaning towards being open to reprising the role. It's just a matter of Disney Plus has kind of had this interesting thing where now it's outside of Loki, everything has been like this, what they're calling a limited series now, such as Hawkeye, Falcon and Winter Soldier, things like that. WandaVision also comes to mind. So second seasons of these Marvel shows are not something that appear like they're going to be that common, but maybe it's going to be like another mini series for Moon Knight, or maybe a Disney Plus movie, or a big screen film. But I do think we're going to see Moon Knight at least pop up in some things before it's all said and done. Where are you at on this, Kat?
I totally agree. He's going to pop up in places to start tying him into the full MCU, which will also hopefully tie in a lot of the other, what we call ground level superheroes, you know, Daredevil, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and bring them into the MCU as well.
Hawkeye.
Well, he's already in Avengers, so we know he's already tied in. Although Hawkeye and Moon Knight have teamed up before, so I wouldn't mind seeing that again, especially at West Coast Avengers.
There's actually a very interesting Marvel Comics history between Hawkeye and Moon Knight, so I'd be curious to see if they could play up on that somewhat. But guys, it's time to get into the final phase here, our final thoughts. So I'm pulling that Tesseract energy out one last time. Gentlemen, as we can look to wrap things up here, we have now had our full ride of the Moon Knight experience, all six episodes. I think personally for me, one of the most unique things Marvel has ever done, and it's something that I'm seeing as starting to be a more of a trend, Marvel trying to do some different things. I enjoyed it. I think they took some risks, and for the most part, most of those risks paid off. There's a few things personally I would have liked to see some different directions on. But guys, as we get ready to wrap up this episode of True Believers, give me your final thoughts on the season as a whole of Moon Knight. Kevin, I'm going to start with you on this.
Jump to the chase here. I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10 if we're going to rate it that way. Above average, definitely not quite up there like 8, 9, or 10. Rewatchability, maybe certain episodes. I'll pass the Asylum one, maybe touch on a few more personally. I'd like to actually go back and watch episode 1 again and look for the little clues and hints and stuff like that. But to me, Oscar Isaacs is the big winner here. And I find that fascinating because I'd rather see him more as his different characters and doing their thing, you know, talking and getting to know each other and working with people. I find that the more fascinating part. It's nice to see them get in the suits. That's fine. Make it happen. But let's see him as Lockley soon. But overall, I thought it was I liked it better than I thought that I would. But I had lower expectations because I didn't want to go into it like I did with Doctor Strange.
Understood. Kat, we know, first of all, thank you for being on this run for the entire run of Moon Knight. We know what a big fan you are.
Here. Yes.
It was a priority to get you on for this because nobody knows Moon Knight better than you as far as we're concerned. That's maybe the writers themselves, but I sometimes even wonder how well they know Moon Knight at this point with all the changes they've done. Moon Knight was one of those characters with the MCU cat I wasn't sure we'd ever actually see on screen or like in this capacity. So did this series fulfill your need for Moon Knight? Did it meet your expectations, or is there some meat left on the board that for Moon Knight that you still want to see?
Definitely some more meat on the board that I want to see. Hopefully, like I was saying, like Kevin said, a mini movie, a TV, another season, anything. But I want to see Lockley in action, like Kevin does, like everyone does. Everyone wants to see Lockley in action. And yeah, Moon Knight pushed the bar. It did things that no other Marvel show has done, with showing blood. And you know, even though they didn't show the fighting, but they showed the blood on his hands and the blood on the people. It's like big risks, big rewards. Absolutely. Like Kevin gave it a 7, I'm going to give it like an 8.5 because I loved it. And rewatchability, absolutely. And I've already watched the whole thing twice and I'm ready to do it again. So bring on season 2 and yeah.
I think for me, if I'm going to give it a scale out of 10, I'm going to give it about a 7.5. I think there's some really fun rewatchable episodes in this. I think Tomb is going to be a great rewatchable episode. I think this is one of those series, though, that when you revisit it, you got to be in the right mind frame to revisit it because of the mind trippiness of Moon Knight itself. It's just like going and reading those Warren Ellis runs of Moon Knight and some of those other kind of off the wall runs. You got to be in the right mindset to do this. But if you want to watch one of Oscar Isaac's best performances, definitely watch this series. Guys, it's been a great ride covering all the phases of the moon with Khonshu, Mark Spector, Stephen Grant, and of course, you, Kevin, and you, Kat. True Believers is covering all things MCU, and we got some fun stuff coming up, including Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. So as we get ready to wrap things up and close things out, of course, a quick reminder, you can find the Fandom Podcast Network on our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. Visit our YouTube channel. We've got all kinds of great live things going on there and the videos of all of our wonderful podcasts. Also, too, you can find us on all of your major podcast catchers, including iHeartRadio, Spotify, and iTunes. Visit our TeePublic store, teepublic.com, for all the gear of the Fandom Podcast Network. And, of course, leave us some reviews. We like them on Apple, but Spotify, wherever. We like to have the input because, as always, we're striving to make better podcasts to feed your ears. As we close out, too, real quick, Kevin, it's time to award you some Excelsior points. You know, I'm feeling generous because you're still on. You still got the newlywed glow going on. I got to tell you, and it's a good look for you. I know Moon Knight might be your biggest education in the MCU to date because it is such an off the wall character and an unknown character to you. And I think you've done a great job of not only diving into all the aspects of Moon Knight, but some of the weirdness.
It's an interesting character. It was interesting. It was fun to dive into. It had adventure. It had Egyptian lore. All this fascinating. Eternals, not so much. Wasn't that interesting?
Eternals sucked. Sorry, I'll come up and say it. That was the worst movie they've made.
So with that, Kevin, I'm going to award you 5 big Excelsior points for your great patience and learning with Moon Knight. I'm going to give you the choice. Do you want to, as a wedding gift, do you want to bank them and save it, add on to it for later, or would you like to use them today?
Let's use them today because it's the end and I might as well see what it all paid off to get. So,
well, I'm going to tell you right now, with your 5 Excelsior points, you're getting a nice brand new white limousine with some great personalized plates on it. But I got to tell you, the driver of the limousine may be a little questionable, a little sketchy. Just you might not want to look at him wrong. So,
Okay. Well, should I be in the passenger side or should I actually be in the main part of the limousine? That's where I'm wondering.
I'm just going to say too, the other part of this, if you ride in the main part, which is probably really the safer of the bet too, you might see this crazy bird headed God every once in a while.
That's right. Khonshu and I were like that. I'm crossing fingers together. We'll hang out. We could do stuff.
Yeah. So. That's just what he makes you think. Right, Cap? Again, thank you, Kat. It's been a great joy to have you on here and get all your Moon Knight expertise. Kevin, as always, it's always wonderful to have you. And of course,
good to be back. Good to be back.
Yeah. Yes, congratulations. I'm glad you survived Vegas. What happened there will be, it's pretty much all over Facebook anyway.
So. Yeah. It didn't stay in Vegas. So we were like, whatever. We broke the rules. So
yeah.
If you want some of the more dirty deeds, let me know. I'm bribable.
Yes. Yeah. Cat knows the dirty stuff. So yeah.
Yeah. That's true. Well, until next time, true believers, Excelsior, and we will be back to cover a little multiverse of madness. Until then, make ours Marvel.